I remember the summer after I graduated from high school, I had for me was a brand new car. It was a Pontiac Catalina. And I was going to take that car from Central Ohio to go to college in Southern California, San Diego. And I was going to take a long trip and have a great time and go to California and get away from the cold Midwest. So I had to get that car ready to go. It was a good car, but it was, you know, needed a little bit of repair. So I did all the body work myself and sent it in to go get it fixed and get it all paint job. Had a brand new paint job. I got it back and was in the driveway of my parents' car. And I said, well, I'm going to drive it around a little bit. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And I was driving, and I went down what we used to call Hospital Hill in Middletown. We went down Hospital Hill, and I came down to the stop sign. I looked both ways. It was a little bit dusk. The street lights were out. I didn't see anybody. And so I pulled out. And as soon as I pulled out, I turned around, heard a horn honking at me, and slammed right into my brand-new paint job on my car. On my side. Fortunately, I got out the passenger side, got out, and I went back to make sure that they were okay, and the girls were okay, and I said, well, we better, and that was before cell phones, somebody stopped and went next door to call the police. I said, she didn't have her lights on. I said, you need to turn your lights on so that the cars behind you won't slam into you. So she turned her lights on, and make a long story short, I was cited for failing to yield to oncoming traffic, even though she didn't have her headlights on, because I couldn't prove that she didn't have her headlights on. I had to pay the traffic ticket, plus my car was totaled. And I was ready about 2 weeks to go to Bible college. So all of my plans were gone. My hopes and dreams were wrapped up in that Pontiac Catalina, and it was gone. Fortunate thing is I ended up getting the money from my wrecked car. The only thing I could do was buy a plane ticket, and I could only get as far as my second choice of Bible colleges, and that was in Springfield, Missouri, not quite Southern California. So I went from Dayton, Ohio to Springfield. I knew absolutely nobody on campus. Nobody. I was scared to death who they were going to put me in to room with. All these kind of problems were going on, and I was freaking out. It was cold, because what ended up happening is I had to wait a while, so I missed first semester, so I went down in the wintertime. And so I had to go through registration line. I go in the gym to go to the registration line to register for my first classes of college. I get in line of this curly-haired girl, and she starts talking, saying, who are you? I said, I'm Greg Burdine, you know, like that means anything. She said, oh, I'm Judy Pritchard. And so we start talking. We find out that she's from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. Oh, that's kind of nice. She was cute. And pretty much that was the end of it. No, I kept seeing her around campus, so I kept thinking that she was following me. This is how vain I was. You know, I kept thinking, oh, she think, yeah. So by the end of the semester, I kept having all these friends that had these girlfriends from, you know, all over, and I said, I want to see somebody over the summertime, so I want somebody close. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll ask her out. So I asked her out. She didn't remember who I was. That's how big of an impression I made. Anyway, make a long story short, some of you don't know, that became my wife. We got married. At Bible college, that particular place, I met another person who was from Iowa. That was my first job. Pretty much all of my life has hinged on the fact that my car got wrecked and I had to go to Missouri. And, you know, sometimes when it seems like your hopes are dashed, you just think, it's over. I had all these plans. This is what I wanted my life to work out like. And all of a sudden, it's horrible. You cry. Now, that's a car. But hopes can be dashed in a dissolved marriage, in a doctor's consultation about an illness that you're going to have to go through, a death of a loved one. And at that point, your hopes are gone because you don't see any way out of it. You can't see 2 days into the future, let alone another year or another two. But the hope of Easter is the fact that no matter how dark and dismal and tragic and dead end your life feels, there's still hope. The book of Hebrews tells us that hope is like an anchor for the soul. I love how it says that. Because, you know, an anchor is for a boat, for a ship. And it's meant, it keeps it from drifting. But especially in a storm, you put it down. And here's what I discover about an anchor. When you put an anchor in, it doesn't mean that the boat is going to be lifted out of the storm. What it means is, even in the middle of the storm, the ship is going to stay. It's going to get hit. It's going to get beat. It's going to hurt. But you know what? It's going to still be there. And when the storm is all over, it's going to survive. And that's exactly what happens to us. We've already read about the situation with John and Peter coming to the grave, thinking that hope was gone, but it wasn't gone. It's because Jesus was alive. We're going to continue the story in John chapter 20. I want to read through that passage, not all the way back to verse 1, but I want to begin in verse 9 and finish it up with a woman named Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the first to go to the tomb. And when she went, it was in the darkest of the day. It was before the sun came up. See, Easter didn't begin with a sunrise. The Easter story begins with before the sun came up, when it was so dark you couldn't see hardly. And so we're going to see what happens. So she went, she came back and told the disciples. They ran up, found out that the tomb was empty. And here is Mary, not knowing the whole story. Her hopes are dashed. Everything is gone. Everything she had put her hope and trust in was empty. Jesus was dead. And so in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, into the tomb, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary Magdalene's hope was gone. Jesus was dead. It was finished. And she just came to the last place where she thought that she was. And as she walked up, she went to the tomb where the last time she heard, that's where the body was, and it was gone. Somebody had stolen it. Somebody had taken it. She was clueless about what actually happened. And she looked in, and she saw two angels there that were informing people of what had happened. And she just said, Where is he? He's gone. He's gone. And she was so overcome with emotion. Have you ever been overcome with emotion that you just can't think straight? I can remember when the first wedding I did of one of my children, when Josh got married and I was going to do the service. And this is my element, with a Bible in my hand and in front of a congregation. And I have done many weddings, but never one for one of my kids. And I can remember I had all the things in my Bible, and I kept walking around laying my Bible places and forgetting where I laid my Bible. My brain was not working right. And I gave it to Dennis Rice. Dennis was doing sound. I said, Dennis, hold my Bible. Don't give it to me until I'm ready to walk in. Because I'm going to lay it down somewhere. I'm going to lay it in the restroom. I'm going to lay it in my office. I'm going to lay it outside on the car. And because you know what? Until you get into that frame of mind, it's amazing. Your mind just goes. And she didn't know where she was hardly at. She saw Jesus. And either because she was crying so hard or because it just didn't compute. You know, he wasn't supposed to be here. I saw him die. And she saw Jesus thinking he was the gardener, you know? And she said, if you've taken him, tell me so I can get him. And Jesus said one word. He called her by her name, you know? And he said her name. And just the inflection of the way he said it, just the accent on the words, all of a sudden she didn't need to see him. She knew who this was. And she said, Master. And all of a sudden, he says, no, don't touch me. And it's not exactly for sure about ascending to the Father or what's going on, but he says, no, not yet. I'll be back, but I've got to go to my Father, and you just tell the disciples that you've seen me. Well, they didn't believe it. You know, guys don't believe a thing a woman says. And but she was right, right? You know, you don't believe me, just find out. Wait a few days, you'll see. I told you so. And so she goes, he was alive. Now how about you? But in that flip, that has to be the most magnificent flip of emotions, to think that somebody that you love is dead, and then to realize they're not. I went to Casey's mom's funeral, and as I walked in and we looked, she was beautiful laying in the casket. And I hope this is fresh and raw for them. And I just said this. I said, it looks like she could just sit right up, doesn't it? And have you ever been that way? Have you ever had somebody pass away and you wake up the next morning and you just hope that it was a dream? Surely somebody's going to call me and say, oh, they made a mistake. Oh, no, they're here. It's just horrible. She saw him die. She saw the crucifixion. She saw what happened. And here he's alive. It's got to be a flip. Now, we're going to take this personal, okay? And we're going to look and see some lessons for us from Mary herself. First of all, I want you to take this home with you, and that is this: God can overcome any powers over my past. My past. You may not know about Mary Magdalene, but Mary Magdalene had a past. Scripture tells us that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from her. She was a troubled woman. She had evil that had consumed her, probably most of her, at least teenage to adult life. Not exactly for sure what it is that just had a hold of her, but it had a hold of her until the day Jesus walked into her town and changed her life, freed her from those demons, gave her freedom. And that's why Mary was the first one there. She knew what Jesus had done for her. And so whatever it is that's going on in your past, whoever you are, whatever you've done, I just want you to know this Easter. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable coming to church because we're not church people. We're not religious people. We're not saintly people. Let's say this. Nobody approaches Jesus in a saintly strut. We have all sinned. It's just that some people's sin is more public than others, and some people's sin, maybe they feel it more than others. But we are all sinners. Jesus did not come to die on a cross for saints. He came to die on a cross for sinners. And you may feel bad about your sin, and I understand that. We should. When we do things that are wrong, there should be a little bit of remorse and saying, man, why did I do that? But I don't want you to feel so much remorse that you turn away from God because you think he doesn't love you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. All you have to do to have your sin removed is bring it to Jesus. Bring it out in the open to him. He already knows it. You haven't done anything. You haven't thought anything. You haven't said anything that he doesn't already know is a part of you, and he still loves you. And so you turn it over to him. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I am so sorry. And the Bible says he will forgive it. Sin is not taken lightly with God. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross. He doesn't take it lightly. But he will not hold it against you if you turn to his son. That's one of the beautiful messages of Easter. And I hope if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, that you will at least give it some consideration. Because either you have to pay for the sin for all eternity, or you let Jesus pay for it and it's already done. You see, that's the difference between the Bible and everything else. We think that we've got to do something to get God to like us. No. God says, I already love you. I've already done it. So if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, he will forgive you of anything you've ever done. Again, it's not taken lightly. That's what he's done. The second thing I want you to notice here about Mary is that God will be present with me each and every day. This is what's so beautiful. Mary had no idea that Jesus was right behind her. She had no idea, but he was there. He was watching her. He was seeing her, and he's with her. And you may not know the journey that you're on. Sometimes you feel all alone in your trouble. Sometimes you feel all alone in this cave that you feel like you're in, this tomb, and nobody understands it. When I do a funeral, I just say it like this. I say, you know what? Everybody experiences it a little bit different. When my dad passed away, I was his oldest son. I was his favorite. That's what I tell the rest of them. I was his favorite. No, I was his only son. Nobody could experience the loss of my dad like I could. People could understand it, but that was my dad. Everybody, that's why it's the valley of the shadow of death. You just feel like it's all, but you know what? Jesus is with you. He will walk through you with you through every valley you go through so that you don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Because you're going to be okay. Those of us that are older, okay, I don't know how old that is. Remember Big Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids? Okay, yeah. They were playing football, and the Cosby Kids were getting smashed, and then they were waiting for the player. Hey, 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 Big Fat Albert. And here comes Big Fat Albert in, and guess what? Big Fat Albert, now they start winning the game. Why? Are they any better? No, because they got Big Fat Albert. I am not comparing Jesus to Big Fat Albert. But I am saying when you've got Jesus with you, there is nothing going to happen to you that he is not going to sift it through his loving hands. It may not be pleasant. What Mary went through, what James and John went through was not easy. But Jesus let him go through it and he loved them through it all. You will have Jesus with you every single day. And then the last thing we think about Mary is that God has a future for me to be forever with him. Jesus says, I got to be with my Father, your Father, my God, your God. And guess what? I'm preparing a place for you, Jesus said, John chapter 14. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the beautiful thing. Jesus was not going to stay right next to her all the time. He would send his Holy Spirit to be with her, which the Holy Spirit is with us. But Jesus is in heaven right now, and he is preparing a place for us. And one day when it is our time to depart this life, we will be with him forever. We were not meant to have an end to our existence. To our physical life, yes, but not to our existence. There's something about us. Even the most atheistic, non-God person at least wishes there could be a forever. Even if they don't believe in a God, and even if they believe that when you're dead, it's all gone, they at least wish that it could continue. They wish they had more time. Well, guess what? With Jesus, there's not just time. There is eternity. And when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, John 3:16, I just quoted it, he gives you everlasting life. And every now and then, God lets you know that, you know what? This isn't all there is. There is more. My favorite Easter story is very personal. I have shared this almost every Easter for the last 8 or 9 years. So if you heard this before, just take a little nap. But my mom passed away suddenly. Never got a chance to tell her goodbye. My dad had cancer, and it took months for him to leave. And it seemed like we were saying goodbye to him every stinking week. You know, and I'd say that lightly, but you know what? You know what it's like when somebody's dying, and you wonder if this is the last time? And it was like, it's not the last time. I want him to stay, but, you know, it's hard to leave. My mom, we got a phone call, and boom, she was gone. And so that was in the summer. February of the next year, I get a letter from my mother. For real. This was signed to me, Mr. Greg Burdine. I thought it was a joke that my brother was playing on me. I don't know why. I open it up, and there is a letter from my mom and a check for $100. And I look at it, and I got it in February of 2007. The check is dated February of 2005. My letter from my mom had got lost in the mail for 2 years. And I just happened to get it exactly 2 years later. And all of a sudden, as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know what? For a split second, I said, oh, I mean, she'd been dead for 9 months. Maybe she's alive. No, I saw her die. I mean, she was gone. It's that. I was at the funeral. I know she's not here. But then I thought, no, you know what? In a real sense, she's still somewhere. Now, this isn't a letter from heaven. This is a letter from my mom. But my mom, because she trusted Jesus Christ as her own personal Lord and Savior, she has eternal life. I called my brother and my sister, and I said, guess who wrote me a letter today? And I told her, and I said, and you thought that you were the favorite? She wrote me a check. I'm afraid to, you know, cash this check. I don't know what's going to happen. Let me just say this. Those of us that have people that we love that have passed away, and we think they're gone, if they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you may not see them, but they're there. And you may not see Jesus, but he is with you. And you know what? It won't be long, and it'll all be over. Jesus can forgive us of our past. He can go with us every day in this present. And when life is over, we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is simple, but not easy. It's like getting married. Oh, it's easy to get married. All you got to do is say, I do, in front of the right person. I mean, how hard is that, right? No. It's the till death do us part thing that's the hard part. It's the commitment to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. you have to, number one, admit to him that you're a sinner. He knows it, you know it, might as well go ahead. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and rose from the dead. And number three, you got to confess it to him. You got to talk to him. Talking to me won't do you any good. It might make you feel good, but I am not the one that'll save your soul. So in just a minute, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, and I want to give you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that Easter Sunday morning, 2019. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And Easter is just a reminder what you did 2,000 years ago, and you're still doing it today. Jesus is still alive, and he's still changing people like he did Mary. Father, thank you for changing some lives this morning. Thank you that people honestly and truly from their heart trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you would be with them and help them in their journey, in their new life in Jesus. And for those that are still kind of on the sidelines or not for sure what to do, may you just convince them in their heart. I can't convince anybody of anything, but you can do it in the heart that this is the truth. There is a God and there is a forever, and Jesus can help us get to the right place. So, Father, I pray as Barb plays through, if somebody has some questions or just something to pray about, I pray that they would come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.